The trial of the man accused of running over and killing a Toronto police constable will resume. But we thought we'd sort of catch up to where we are in this trial with CTV's John Woodward, who has been covering it. And he joins us now. John Woodward, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you as well.
Where did we leave things off last week?
Last week, I talked to you on Thursday morning. So that was in the middle of the testimony of Umar Zamir, who's the guy who's the accused in all of this. And we had just kind of got to the point where he had and his family had come downtown to celebrate Canada Day. He was describing seeing a stabbing, seeing a whole bunch of police officers and firefighters descend on City Hall. And he was just about to go down to the parkade to try and escape it all, or so he thought.
Okay, so where do we pick up today?
So then comes Friday, where he describes this dramatic scene of a bunch of officers coming at him. He says he didn't know they were officers. He didn't see any badges. He didn't. They didn't say the word police, of course. And the police have testified that they did. But according to his testimony, they started banging on the window. He was in the car with his pregnant wife and his 2-year-old son, who started crying. And so he did, according to him, what a father would do is try and get his family out of the situation. He tried to go forward. There was a unmarked police car in the way. He didn't know it was an unmarked police car. So then he backed up and then he drove away over what he thought was a speed bump. And throughout this, he's saying, it's very intense. Everything's happening quickly. They're banging on the car. My son is crying. I didn't see anything that would make me think that I had run over anybody. And I thought I'd just run over a speed bump. So the real core of that testimony is, I didn't know, I was trying to protect my family, and it all happened so fast. And then the cross-examination comes. And what I thought was really interesting in the cross-examination was that they slowed down this timeline. So there wasn't a lot taken issue with his subjective perspective, but they pointed out that there's a grainy video of this incident that I've mentioned, I think, before on the show here. And it doesn't show a lot. It's just one frame a second. But it shows enough that the prosecution is able to say, well, hold on, you know, you were able to go forward and then count the seconds. And it's 9 seconds before that he goes out of frame and then he comes in back into frame and drives away. And 9 seconds, if you count it out to yourself, is a reasonably long time. I mean, I haven't been talking about that for 9 seconds. So they're pointing out that there was some time here for him to make some decisions. And of course, they put this to him in testimony or in questions, and he testifies, no, again, it was very fast. I had no idea. I just wanted to get out of there. If I'd known there was an officer in the way or this person we thought was threatening him, I would have gone some other way.
What is left of the trial? Is this the last witness?
So that was the sort of culminating event. We had two small witnesses, sorry, not small witnesses, a short testimony by two police officers who had already testified about what Zamir said to them as he was arrested at gunpoint after their unmarked car had slammed into his car, which was, I didn't know you were officers. And the reason for them coming back is just because of legal reasons. They didn't want officers testifying about what he had to say unless he was going to himself testify about it. So that's all stitched up there. Those are the witnesses. They're done. We're having legal arguments today. And then we expect the closing arguments to start tomorrow. Again, the defense is going to hit hard. This is a family man trying to protect his family escaping. You're going to expect to hear the prosecution say he must have known something. He must have had some kind of intent or recklessness. Now, what I think is interesting that's coming out now is that we've all been wondering how this can add up to a first degree murder charge. But there are going to be other options, and other legal experts have told me the judge can give other interpretations of the jury. You don't have to go first degree. You can go second degree, manslaughter, for example. So there are going to be some more options that the jury can pick from, depending on how they view the facts in the case.
Thank you, sir. Always a pleasure.
Yeah, you too.
That's John Woodward from CTV, and he has been reporting on this trial for us. And it will be interesting to see if the jury opts for a lesser charge. because it really, the testimony and the evidence seem to add up to a horrible, horrible accident. So then you get into the aspect of, okay, how much as a driver of a motor vehicle do you owe duty of care to a stranger? And, you know, does the jury actually buy that this was an accident, that he didn't know that these were police officers? And the evidence seems to support that in a blind panic, he just couldn't process the whole thing, and that the police may have not identified themselves as authoritatively as they might.